Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to preach a message entitled The Shepherd and His Sheep. The Shepherd and the Sheep. As I begin to prepare messages for this morning, I had different ones I wanted to preach and seemed like none of them would come together. I thought this morning about the preachers that had kind of announced their call to preach, and I thought, you know, maybe we need to go this route, the shepherd and his sheep. Now, Reg and I have been the under-shepherd for a number of years now, about, 39 years or so like that. But I thought there's some that haven't been a shepherd very long, and maybe this might help them as they branch out into the ministry somewhat. So I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 5, the first four verses there. The Bible says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who also am an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Notice in verse 2, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be able to be here today. We're thankful for the Word of God most of all, and for the Spirit of God that needs to take this message today and take it to the heart of God's people and to the heart of the ministers that's here this morning. I ask, Heavenly Father, that you use me and just dry my eyes right now, Lord, I pray. And help me, God, to preach this message, Lord, without fear or favor of man. And God, that you would use it, Lord, to the preachers that are here and to the congregation that's here today, because this message is for everybody that's listening this morning. I pray for those that are listening online today. Maybe don't have a church that they can attend that preaches the Word of God. I pray that you'd touch their hearts. I pray for the unsaved that may be listening this morning, whether it's online or here in this congregation. I pray, God, that you'd touch their hearts in a special way. God, that you'd save them this morning. I pray, God, that you'd speak to their hearts, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd save them today. Lord, that we don't know what's going to happen, Lord, today to any of us. So I pray, God, that you'd speak to their hearts and save them this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, Peter was addressing the church, and the church was living in tough times. And I'm afraid that the church today is going to go through some pretty tough times. Remember, these people knew a lot about raising sheep. And this scripture here was an analogy that they could relate to. And Peter is saying that God's children is much like sheep. God didn't pay mankind a compliment when he compared us to sheep. David said, "We are his people and sheep of his pasture." If God's people are like sheep, then the church is a flock. And if the people are sheep, then the church is a flock. And if people are like the sheep, the church a flock, then the pastor is the shepherd. And the duty of this pastor is to shepherd the flock. Jesus is the great shepherd, which all other shepherds will give an account of in that day. And Brother Reg, that's a sobering thought to me to know that someday I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, and give an account of me being the under-shepherd and give an account that in the day that I stand before him. The Lord did not say we're as strong as horses or that we are as swift as deer or we are as brave as a lion. He said people are like sheep. Now, what are sheep like? Now, sheep are a wayward animal. And I want to say that he wasn't bragging on us when he said we were sheep. Let me tell you why. Sheep are kind of dumb. Did you know that? As a child, as a young boy at home, we had sheep. We had every kind of animal that there was. We had sheep. We had goats. We had pigs. We had cattle. We had all kinds of animals that you could ever think of having. No one ever heard of a trained sheep. If you try to drive a sheep, the sheep will turn around and look at you. You can't drive a sheep. You can drive cattle. You can drive horses. You can drive a lot of things, but you cannot drive a sheep. Now, dogs are trained. They're trained to sniff drugs. Now they're training dogs to sniff out this virus that's going around the country. You can train a dog to lead the blind, to tree a coon, to tree a possum, to tree squirrels. You don't have to train a dog to eat a biscuit. Just throw it at him. He'll take care of it itself. You can train horses to race, to run, to show. You can train a flea, but you can't train a sheep to do anything. 1 Peter 2, verse 25 says, "For you're like sheep going astray." The prophet Isaiah said, "We're all like sheep that's gone astray." Here's the nature of a sheep. Sheep will nibble here and nibble over here, and as they're nibbling here and there, they go farther and farther from the sheepfold. And people are much like sheep. They tend to wander away from Christ the shepherd. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 15, the story of the shepherd, he had to leave 99 in order to go find the one that wandered off and that went astray. So because of the waywardness of the sheep, we need the sheepfold. Because of the waywardness of the sheep, we need the shepherd. Because of the waywardness of the sheep, we need the great shepherd. Now you try to get rid of a cat and the cat will go back home. I remember my dad didn't care much for cats, and one day he had a cat that was always under his feet, and one day he was going to Mountain Grove, and so he picked the cat up, he put it in the cab of the pickup, and when he come through Norwood and stopped at the stop sign down here, that was the main highway down here, and when he stopped there, he picked up the cat and he tossed it out the window. And he said, "I got rid of the cat." And I thought, I don't know whether you did or not, Dad, but I didn't say anything. And he turned right and went to Mountain Grove. 2 days later, you know what was on the doorstep? The cat was on the doorstep. Well, Mom said, "I wonder what happened to that cat." Dad never said a word. He kept his mouth shut. Dad was a smart, smart man. He knew not to say anything. And then Grandpa Kelly, I don't know whether Reg and Steve know this or not, but he traded cattle quite a bit. And he went down into Arkansas some and bought cattle and brought them home. And when he got a herd together, he brought them up to the big town of Norwood at the stockyards. And he put them in the corral there and he shipped them to St. Louis and sold them. Well, one time he was down into Arkansas and he lost his dog. He had a little dog and he set it on right in front of him in the saddle. And when the cattle would get into the brush, he'd put the little dog off. And the dog would get the cattle out of the brush and put them back into the herd. Well, one day he lost his dog. He figured somebody has stole my dog. And so anyway, probably a month or two went by, and a little old dog made it home. When he come home, his feet was bleeding. I mean, a little old dog, legs wasn't very long, and his feet was bleeding, but the dog had come home. So you can take a cat away from home, and it'll come back. You can take a dog away from home, it'll come back. You can take a horse away from home, it'll find its way back to the barn. But that sheep will not find its way back. It wanders away and it will not come back home. So I'm just telling you, the sheep are dumb. So when God says we're like sheep, he wasn't bragging on us, folks. He wasn't bragging on us at all. We are like sheep. We all go astray, okay? And so when we look at that, we need to understand that sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd to keep the sheep from going astray. And when we go astray, we have to have a shepherd to come to find us. Also, not only is a sheep one that goes away or wayward, but a sheep is weak. The sheep has no way to protect itself. A horse can run. A mule can kick. The cat can scratch. The dog can bite. The skunk can stink, but not the sheep. You know what the sheep will do? The sheep will stand there and let the wolf come and just rip its throat out. And will stand there until it bleeds to death. The Bible says, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb. The Bible says, we are led as a lamb to the slaughter. All of these are pictures of the weakness of the sheep. So there's a waywardness of the sheep, the weakness of the sheep. But also there's a worthlessness of the sheep. The sheep is a valued animal. The Lord values us. There can be no cost put on the value of a human soul. In that day, the Bible says, a man is counted, he counted his wealth by counting his sheep. Maybe that's why he never got any sleep. I don't know. The sheep gives wool. They make clothes out of the wool. The sheep gives milk, which they drank. The sheep gave meat for them to eat. The sheep produced lambs that would increase their flocks and they could sell them. Despite our waywardness and despite our weakness, the Lord loves us. Because we're worth more to him than anything else in this world. I want you to think about that. More than the gold and more than the silver, more than all the cattle on 1,000 hills, you and I are worth more than anything else in this world. That's why we need to be protected. So the church is like the sheepfold or the flock of the Lord. Knowing that his sheep are wayward and weak, the Lord puts his sheep together in the sheepfold or in the church for protection. The church is the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible does not teach every sheep must go out on its own. As a matter of fact, it teaches the opposite. It teaches that the sheep must be part of the flock, and every flock must have a pastor or a shepherd. Every once in a while, someone will say, "I love the Lord, but don't think much of the church." That person's getting ready to get in trouble. They're getting ready to get in trouble. Jesus, yes, the church, no. That's dangerous theology. That's a good way for the sheep to get devoured. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8 says this. The Bible says there in verse number 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." That tells us who will devour the sheep. It is those who are not part of the sheepfold. Name one person for me who has stopped being part of the sheepfold, who has escaped being devoured of the evil one. God wants us to be in the protection of the flock. With the shepherd watching over us, there is strength in numbers. There are wolves that will devour the flock. There are thieves who will steal the sheep. There are lions who will pounce upon us. Christ has put you and I in the sheepfold of the church, and then he gives us the shepherd or a pastor in order to protect us. Now, the pastor is the shepherd. There are three things I want you to notice about the pastor or the role of the pastor. Number one, notice here, the Bible, three words in verse number 1 and 2 that he talks about there. The Bible says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder." And verse 2, he talks about there, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingness, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." Now notice there, the word elder, the word feed, and the word oversight. The word feed is the pastor or the shepherd. The word oversight is talking about the bishop. I want to turn to the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. The Bible says there, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also," in verse 30, "of your own selves shall men arise, speaking of perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." So not only are the wolves going to be after you, but there's going to be people after you also that's speaking false things. The pastor, notice what he's to be. He's to be a man of maturity. Now that word maturity does not mean a man of old age. It has nothing to do with the years that the man is. Elder, the word elder does not mean elderly. A person may be elderly and still be immature. Some people never mature. Some people never gain wisdom. Some people are childish all their lives. The word elder means one of maturity and one of wisdom. The Bible says not to lay hands on a novice. A novice is a person, a man who lacks maturity. The Bible says do not lay hands on a novice. The Bible says not to lay hands on one who lacks wisdom. A novice may be someone who's new to the faith, a new convert. A novice may be someone that's just announced their call to the ministry. A person must prove himself, and when he does that, he ceases to be a novice. A pastor should be a person who's been tried in the faith. He's a man who should be settled in the Word of God. Otherwise, he knows what version the Word of God is. He's not undecided. He's not using one version one time and one version another time and not decided which version is the Word of God. He should be a man who's proven himself in the faith. Many preachers are destroyed because they are put in a place of responsibility they're not ready to be put in. Maturity comes with time. Maturity comes with the study of God's Word. Maturity comes with practical experience. Maturity comes with shepherding the flock. So a pastor must be a man of maturity. He must be a man of ministry. The word feed means to pastor or to shepherd the flock. The pastor to take that maturity and put it into ministry to feed the flock of God. The job of a pastor shepherd is to guard the flock. Acts 20:29, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." The pastor knows the devil will try and harm the flock. He will try to divide the flock. He will try to discourage and divide the flock. These are those who will steal the sheep, fleece the sheep, and lead the sheep astray. Wolves will enter into the flock. Lions will come. The devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Bears will come to destroy. The Bible says Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So the pastor must ever be vigilant about those who would do his sheep harm. When the sheep would be in the sheepfold, the shepherd would lay down in the doorway to keep out the enemy that would destroy the flock. Many times the sheepfold was nothing but a cave. And the shepherd would bring them into the cave, And as he would literally become the door or the doorway into the cave, he would lay himself down, and the bear or the lion or whatever it was trying to get to the sheep would have to literally come through the shepherd in order to get to the sheep. And the shepherd would literally lay down his life in that doorway to keep the enemy from getting his sheep. When the sheep would be in the sheepfold, he would lay down in the doorway. The pastor's to guard the flock, then he's to guide the flock. The word shepherd means to lead. Let's go to Psalm chapter 23. I want to read that to you. Psalm chapter 23. Turn with me there if you want to. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now there, Jesus said, he said, my sheep hear me. And he said, not only do they hear me, they know me and they follow me. The pastor must guide the flock. Now, sometimes we have the idea that the church is a democracy. I've got news for you. I know there's listening online. I've got news for you. The church is not a democracy. Okay? The church is not a democracy. You did not get that from the Bible. You may have got that from some pastor that you had or some church that you've attended. It's not a democracy. The church is a theocracy. The chief shepherd calls the under-shepherd, and he is to lead. Now, the problem is many churches do not have a leader. Some have a leader, but the church will not follow that leader. I want you to get that. Some have a leader, but the church will not follow that leader. The pastor stands and says, all you sheep that want to graze over here, go back. And so they go back, 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 back. And then he says, all of you that want to graze over here, you go back, back, back. And they go back, back. And he says, the bass have it. That's not the way it's done. That's done a lot of places like that. I understand that. And he said, well, the bass have it. That's not the way it's done. He counts the baths, and the baths have it. The pastor is to be the leader. Now, I'm not saying he can't have some men that he has confidence in, that he can't go to and run something by them. Or he may stand in a pulpit and say, I believe that God may be leading us to go do this and this and this, and I want the church to pray about it. Nothing wrong with that. Amen. As a matter of fact, that's common sense. Yep. Okay? But, you know, he's the leader. He guides the church. And I'll tell you, you know, you've got a man of God sitting over here. I'm not saying that because he's my first cousin. Okay? You got a man of God over here. If you can't follow him, you need to get rid of him. I'm serious. And all of you that are listening online and will view this later on, if your pastor is not a man of God, you need to fire him. And find one that is. And if he is a man of God, you need to follow him. What did Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. He's to guard the sheep. He's to guide the sheep. And then he's to grow the sheep. It's not the pastor's job to reproduce sheep. Shepherds don't have sheep. There hadn't been a shepherd on this earth that ever had a sheep. Sheep have sheep. Are you understanding where I'm coming from? Sheep have sheep. A church needs a man of God in the pulpit of God to open the Word of God in the Spirit of God to preach the Christ of God, building up the saints in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Then healthy sheep will reproduce. Sheep have sheep. Amen. I hope you understand that. That's not plain enough for you. I can go through it again. As the pastor, he's to guard the church against false prophets and false versions. He's to guide the church in green pastures and still waters. He's to grow the flock of God with the Word of God. Let me tell you what that takes. That takes time. Now, you parents that got little children, it takes time to take that little child and to grow that child. That little child's not going to grow up overnight. You don't bring that little baby home from the hospital and the next morning walk in there and he's putting the clothes on himself. He's feeding himself, bathing himself. If that happens, you call me. I want to come and see it. No, it don't happen that way. It takes time. It takes time. It takes time for that baby to grow. It takes time for the pastor to grow a church. It takes time. You don't grow your children one day. There the disciple says, it's not meet for the pastor to wait tables. That's not his job. The idea is not to hire staff or professionals to do the job. The flock of sheep, the church, it's their responsibility. He can't teach every Sunday school class. He can't visit everybody. I tell you, this church is so fortunate. You got people that sang with the kids. You're so fortunate. A lot of churches, you beg and beg and beg and beg and beg and beg and beg, and everybody sits there like wooden Indians. Afraid to blink their eyeballs. You got people that'll go get people and bring them to church. You got more piano players you can count on your fingers and toes.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. Amen. Some churches, you couldn't find a piano player if you had the FBI come in and investigate. I'm just honest with you. If we all do a little, much will get done. Another song says little as much if God's in it. Acts 2:46 says, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Did you notice what they did? They all went from house to house. The church is not run by committees. It's led by the under-shepherd. Led by the under-shepherd. The under-shepherd is directly responsible to the chief shepherd. He answers to him. The pastor answers to God. There's a maturity of the pastor, a ministry of the pastor. Then there's a management of the office. That's where the word bishop comes in. Bishop means to have oversight of the flock. It means to look over or to guide the affairs of the church. The shepherd in the Bible would look over the flock. As he looked at the flock, he would look for sick sheep and doctor them accordingly. He would look for the wayward sheep and bring them back. He would look for the sheep who would not eat. A sheep wouldn't eat would soon die. Sometimes he would have to shear sheep. I hated that job. You ever shear sheep? Anybody ever shear sheep? Did you like it? No. You like it? You
sold the sheep.
I had a different idea. I wanted to kill the sheep. I hated that, shearing them sheep. But yeah, it was a necessity to shear the sheep. You had to shear them. The sheep didn't like it any more than I did. But you had to shear them to get rid of the weight. Sometimes the pastor has to shear you close.
Amen.
Get rid of that sin.
That's right.
Yeah. Huh? I know you think he's going to kill you, but you won't die. Get rid of that sin. Get rid of that weight. Also, you get rid of the parasites and the ticks. I remember I'd come home from school and get off the bus. Dad said, there's a sheep missing. Oh. You know what that meant? That meant there was a downer somewhere. You know what a down sheep is? It's a sheep that got down on its back and all four feet are up in the air like this. I surrender all. I hated them things. Oh, I hated them sheep. The greatest day of my life when Dad loaded them sheep up and sent them off to town. I said, hallelujah. I put my feet up in the air then. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you what, I never was so glad to see anything leave my life as it was them sheep. Over the hill I'd go, and those, you know the hills I've got down there. They weren't little bitty hills either. Up one side, you hoped you got on the first hill and could see the sheep. Oh, no. The farthest hill. You'd finally find her on her back, and for some reason they couldn't roll on over, on her back with her feet up like this. You wanted just to beat her to death when you found her. And you couldn't just roll her on her side and she'd get up. Oh no. You had to pick her up and set her on her feet. Yeah. Pick her up and set her on her feet, and then you took her back to the flock. They was usually back at the barn. And you know what? It was generally the same old sheep every time. Generally the same old sheep was a downer. Well, I was always unhappy about that. And sometimes if they wandered away too often, you know what the shepherd would do? He'd take his staff and break her leg. And you know what he'd do? He'd set that leg and then she would follow him close. By the time the leg healed, she got used to being close to the shepherd. You know what that meant? She wouldn't stray away again. She loved being near the shepherd. Now, what would the pastor look like today? What would he look over today? Well, I remember when I went down to Brush a Knob, I began to look over the teaching methods. I didn't like them. Didn't like them. They had Sunday school literature that had NIV on one side and King James on the other side. Yeah. First thing I did was gather them up, took them home, burned them. Amen. The next Sunday, where's my quarterly?
Yeah.
I said, you know, the strangest thing happened to those quarterlies. The strangest thing happened. They all went up in smoke. They all got burned. I told them, I said, we're not having quarterlies like that anymore.
Yep.
I said, we have Bibles.
Yep. Amen.
We have Bibles. So he would look at the teaching methods, what was used to teach with. And then look at the missions giving. Did you know that some of the missionaries that say they're King James only are really not King James only?
That's right. That's the truth.
Huh? Did you know that?
Yep.
Oh, you mean they lied? Yep. Yep, they'll lie to you. The pastor guides, he guards, and he grows. I've had people say, well, we don't do that this way around here. Well, you are now. You're doing it this way now. Because I'm here. He's here. It's not going to be different. It's going to be different. You don't find in the Bible anywhere, start in Genesis, go to the book of Revelation, that churches are run by committees. When they're run by committees, you've got a nest of troubles.
Yep.
Let me tell you what the pastor's job is to lead and feed. Your job is to follow and swallow.
Yeah.
Pretty simple, huh? Lead and feed, follow and swallow. As long as you do that, you're going to get along good. When that changes, you're not going to get along too good. All right? The requirements of the pastor: have a right ministry. His ministry is to feed the flock. He must be a preacher of the Word of God. If he don't do that, he's a failure. I don't care who he is, where he come from, or anything about it. Now, verse number one there, you go back to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and look there. There it says he must witness the sufferings of Christ. That was back in Peter's day. Must be a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. I think there he's talking there in that scripture there about the Mount of Transfiguration. He must have seen the Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And then verse 2, you must have the right motivation. Verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre.
Amen.
If he'll come here for money, and somebody offers him more money somewhere else, he'll go somewhere else. Okay? Am I telling you not to pay the pastor? I'm not telling you that. As a matter of fact, 1 Timothy 5 and verse number 17, the Bible says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So I'm not telling you not to pay. I'm just saying, a lot of them will leave you and go somewhere else for more. That's what the Bible says. Okay? He should have the right ministry, the right motive, the right manner. Pastor should always lead by example. There in verse number 3. I'm going to cut this thing short a little bit. He ought to be blameless, not able to place blame upon him, the husband of one wife, not one wife at a time. Somebody asked me the other day, will you pastor again? I don't have a wife. Now, I'm very stickler on this. I'm not trying to crucify somebody that's pastoring and not married. But I don't think you ought to pastor and not be married. The husband of one wife. I'm sorry, but where I used to sit, my wife is not there. She's in heaven. Sometimes I wish I was there with her. Like yesterday. I cried half the day yesterday. I didn't know if I was going to make it here today or not. I cried when I walked in the door today. people that's here could verify it. Vigilant, that means discreet. Sober, not talking about not being drunk, but you should not be drunk. That means of sound mind, self-control, of good behavior, act right, talk right, spit white. Given to hospitality, love of strangers. Apt to teach, knowledge of the scriptures, make it understandable. That man, I don't know if anybody is any better at that than he is. I'm just honest with you. He's better at it than I am. Not given to wine. Man loses self-control, becomes a fool if he gives himself to wine. Not striker, not a brawler. Not covetous, doesn't long for, look or lust at for something that's not his. Not a novice, but a man of maturity. A good report of those without. Notice the requirements of a pastor are laid out straight and plain there in the scripture. Notice verse 4, the reward. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Amen. It denotes a victor's crown, a token of honor for distinguished service. That'll be a day, brother. I don't know what all it's going to entail. But I can tell you one thing. It's an emblem of life, joy, reward, and glory. And the reward of anything we have on this earth will fade away. It'll be worth every heartache, every headache, every mile we've traveled, everything that we've done, every trial, every problem we face, because the chief shepherd will appear. Amen. Listen, folks, none of us should be working for what this world can give. What the world gives will fade away. I've got a Letterman jacket at home. I got at school. It don't mean nothing to me. I didn't burn it a few years ago. I got a class ring. I tell you what I thought of it. I gave it to Myra. My mom got so mad she could bite a nail in two. What happened to your ring, Danny? I gave it to Myra. Why'd you give it to her for? Well, I loved her. I guess the reason I gave it to her. I've got trophies at home. I got for showing horses when I was a teenager. I'm not for sure what I've done with them. They're probably up there in the shed somewhere, but I don't know where. We should work for what we will receive from the Lord when we see Him. Now, I've pretty much given you the role of a pastor today. And you preachers that are started preaching. It's not going to be easy all the time. People you love is going to turn their back on you. They're going to turn their back on you. People that you've led to the Lord, people that you've helped down life's road, going to turn their back on you. I've had them turn their back on me. He's had them turn their back on him. It's tough. It's tough. But I'll tell you what, the old song says it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. It'll be worth it all. It'll be worth it all. I woke up yesterday morning. I've had my wife by my side for 51 and a half years. She's not there no longer. Her race is run. She's got the victory.
Amen.
And I'm left behind. I'll tell you what, it's hard for me to study and get a message. It's hard for me to pray. I know I got people praying for me all over the country. I found out I got churches in every state in the country praying for me. And I appreciate it. You got a man there. It's a man of God. You follow him.
Amen.
You follow him. He'll preach it to you right. And you'll preach it to you straight. And he'll preach it to you strong. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Amen.
I wouldn't have it any other way. He's a man of God. You follow him. You're the sheep. He's the shepherd. You have responsibility. He has responsibility. you're here today or you're listening online, you're lost without God, you have a Savior that loves you more than you could ever know. You have a God that loves you so much, He sent His only begotten Son. I look at that word begotten a little different than some people. I think the word begotten means the one and only. The one and only. He sent the one and only Son to Calvary to die for you, so you could get forgiveness of sin. He died on the cross for you and for you alone. What are you going to do about it? One of these days you're going to draw your last breath. You're going to go out into eternity, either saved or lost. Only two ways. You're not going to no purgatory, no such thing. You're going to be saved or lost. You're going to stand before God, either saved or lost. So which is it going to be? Which is it going to be? Van, you got an invitation ready? Get a song ready, if you will, in just a minute. God loves you more than you could ever know. He wants to save you. If you're not saved today, He wants to save you. Let's stand, have a word of prayer, and we're going to have an invitation. Heavenly Father, I pray You touch these people's hearts, those that are online listening. I don't know people's needs today. I don't have any idea who's saved and who's lost, who's ready to go and who's not. But I do ask, Lord, today that You touch people's hearts. Convict people of sin. That's one of the jobs the Holy Spirit has, is a spirit of conviction. I just pray, Heavenly Father, that You just convict today where conviction is needed. Bring conversion today in people's hearts. We just pray that Your will be done in people's lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.